Blog Talk Radio.
Project Paranormal. I am your host
for the next 2 hours, Jeremy Leonard, the founder of Ghost Quest Paranormal. And tonight our co-host is Chris Malasso, the founder of Paranormal Society of New Orleans. Tonight we have a special guest called Brian Sons. We're going to talk all things paranormal, Bigfoot, aliens, chickacabra, you name it, we're going to talk about it. With that being said, I'd like to welcome my good friend and co-host Chris Malasso. How are we doing?
Hi, everybody. Hey, Jeremy, how's it going?
It's going.
We're not really going to talk about the chickawabra, right? Or chickawabra?
Chickacabra. Chickacabra.
Chickacabra. Okay. It sounds like a dance, like a 1970s dance or something.
You know, I think there was a dance called a chicken dance. I imagine you've probably done it a couple times, right?
I probably have, you know. I got the chickawabra right here. My dog's a chickawabba. Didn't you know that?
Is chickawabba, it chickawabba?
Is it chickawabba? Chickacockatoo? What?
People, I'm still trying to train this guy, but it seems like no matter how hard I try, he just goes in the opposite direction.
It's funny because the more the opposite direction I go, the more frustrated you get, which makes it a lot more comical. So, you know, I just go the other way.
And better off you are.
So, we got Brian Sons tonight. We had him on a few weeks ago, and, man, that we only had him on for like 45 minutes, and that just wasn't long enough. I mean, we started dipping into topics to where we were going to talk about the Sasquatch, and we did. We touched on that a good bit, but we started leaning towards aliens and other type of theories out there that was just going directly off topic, and it was just like, you know what, that's a whole other show. And we were saying that kind of like in a metaphoric way, but afterwards, while I called him up, I was like, look, we got to have you back on because it's just you need more, you know. And he was like, sure, you know, it was a great show. Let's have you back on. So I said, all right, let's finish out the guests that we got lined up, and we'll squeeze you in. And, you know, I said, you know what, because it was such a great show last time, and for me to actually say this, to put on a two-hour show is kind of strange, but I said, look, we're going to have to do a whole two-hour show on this. So that's what we did, and we're going to have Brian back on, and we're really going to touch on some key things, you know, and I'm going to touch on some key things. And I know, Jeremy, you got a lot of stuff you want to talk about all things paranormal, and I'm going to try and start off with something, and I know this gets under Brian's skin. Is Sasquatch paranormal? Because there's some people out there that say it's not even paranormal, but Brian disagrees, so we're going to get his input on that. And the chickawapa is, I don't even, you know.
Chickacabra.
Whatever. Okay. Is that even paranormal? I mean, why would that be considered paranormal when you got a mutated dog running around Texas? I don't get it, you know, and there's probably a lot of people out there like, oh, you know, I know there's a lot of people that probably are just as passionate about that as I am about, you know, ghost hunting and paranormal investigating, but I just don't get it, you know, and maybe Brian can touch on that a little bit too.
And one of the exciting things is, since we had Brian on the first time, I think there is a new piece of evidence about Bigfoot that has just surfaced recently, a new video. So we're going to get Brian's take on that.
It's a whole
subject. Familiar with that.
They made it into a whole show, which is he posted on my wall, which is coming out on the 17th, which is in like 2 days. I think it's going to be Saturday. About new evidence of Bigfoot, you know, and I do this all the time. I know it's got to be gets on Brian's nerves, but when I get something, some kind of video or some kind of evidence of Sasquatch, like I look at it for a second, but then I directly send it to Brian, and whatever Brian says, I go with. You know, it's like, because it'll be like fake. They'll send me a real picture of it, go, that's what you look for. Then I'll send them something else and go, fake. He's like, come on, Chris. I'm trying to teach you here. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, but.
You can't teach the old dog new tricks, for one. That's where he's messing up. But, yeah, I haven't really watched the whole video. I watched part of it. We stay so busy. But, you know, I find it interesting if that is an actual real footage of a Bigfoot. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's like Brian said the last time. I think it's a matter of time before, you know, somebody comes out with some hard evidence that Bigfoot does exist. And do I believe Bigfoot exists? Sure, why not? I mean, I mean, it goes back to ancient times. The Indians, you know, they worshiped Bigfoot. They made statues of Bigfoot. And it goes back to all cultures. I mean, all cultures around the world has their own version of the Bigfoot, whether it's Sasquatch, Yeti, the Swamp Ape, you name it, different cultures has it. So, you know, you got to kind of really dig deep, and you say to yourself, are we so arrogant to believe that the human race is the dominance on this planet, as Brian said before? What if we are the cancer to this world and Bigfoot was here before we are? So, you know, and I thought about that from the last time we talked to him, and, you know, it really does make sense because apparently these things are really smart. I mean, people set out cameras and stuff all over the place, and these things seem to be intelligent enough to avoid these things. But in the meanwhile, people have had hard evidence. People have found hair samples that scientists cannot identify that has some human DNA in it, but it's not completely human DNA. It's not a DNA of a known species. So how could you dispute that?
Well, you know, I'm still on the fence on the whole thing, you know. The DNA and the stuff we come from and everything like that that they've discovered, I haven't really seen it for firsthand, but I'm so busy with my life and, you know, radio and paranormal investigations, you know, I haven't really sat down and really dwelled in it and looked at it and, you know, became obsessed with it, you know. So I'm still on the fence on the whole thing, you know. And you sit there and say, it's like, are we the dominant race? Of course we are the dominant race on the planet. Are we a cancer of the planet? Of course we are a cancer of the planet. You know, we suck everything dry out of this planet. Ever since the Industrial Revolution, we started to destroy it, you know. And you got to think about it. Man has been around since millions of years, not talking biblical, but evolution-wise and scientific evidence has said we've been around for a very, very long time. And the world has flourished, but ever since the Industrial Revolution, when we started taking coal and polluting the atmosphere and doing all these things since the 1800s, that's a really short time. That's just a couple hundred years. And if we've been able to do the amount of damage that scientists have talked about with global warming and other things in this couple hundred years, imagine 200 more years. What's going to happen? Are the ice caps going to melt? You know, all these different things will happen. And I believe in that. You know, I believe in global warming. I believe we are destroying the planet. I believe we're overpopulating. And I believe that before any meteor comes and strikes us and blows us up or the earth or the sun dies, I think man is going to destroy the planet and we're going to destroy each other. But that's just me.
Yes. And I agree with that to a certain point, the global warming whole issue. You know, I believe that man contributes to global warming, but then you also have to look at volcano can erupt and put more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere than man can in 100 years in just one eruption. So, but I think Mother Nature has a way of recycling.
Now, is that a scientific fact? Is that a statistic?
Yeah, well,
I'd like to see that. Hold on, we got Brian on. I'm going to go ahead and bring Brian on right now. Brian, you there?
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on, Brian? Thanks for coming back on the show, man. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me. Thanks for asking.
Jeremy, you want to start off?
Yeah, Brian. I wanted to ask you, have you seen the new evidence that they've come out with here recently since the last time we've had you on, the new video that's popped up about Bigfoot? What's your take on that?
Well, it depends on which one you're talking about.
This one just come out here recently. I'm not sure which one it is. I couldn't tell you specifically. I just happened to run across the video. I know they're fixing to do a special about it on TV, new evidence of Bigfoot.
I posted the information regarding that television show over on Chris's Facebook page just the other day, actually. I haven't seen the video. Chris and I were speaking not too long ago, and he sent me I think an image. It may have been a video, and he asked me what I thought of it, and my first thought was that it was fake. I'm not sure. You have to send me exactly what you're talking about.
Well, I have to see if I can find it. I just happened to run across it, and I checked it out. Like I was telling Chris, I only watched about 5 or 6 minutes of it, but it was just actually a video, but it was only a couple seconds long of a Bigfoot just kind of walking through the forest, and a man was standing there, and, I mean, he was probably about, I'd say, 60, maybe 70 yards away from it. And, I mean, it didn't seem, but see what kind of struck me odd about it was, at first it was like the Bigfoot didn't really pay him no mind. Right, okay.
Yeah, I think I have seen that one. I know what you're talking about. And the guy is standing there. Yeah, Chris did send me that one. And, you know, I told Chris, I said, you know what? I said, the guy is too calm, for one. There's no camera shaking. I mean, he's not breathing heavily. He's not having the type of reaction that you would expect one to have the first time seeing a Sasquatch.
Right. What if
I think at the end the guy takes off running or something like that.
He does, but, like, what if he's just got really big balls, you know? And Jeremy and I actually have kind of a disagreement on one. Like, we posted a video, I don't know if you've seen it, of a client of ours that had a door closing on him with the cell phone. And Jeremy's first reaction was, she's not freaking out. She's not, you know, she's not having all the typical signs. And Jeremy wasn't the only one that said that. Even though I disagree.
Yeah, you said that to me, too. I said the same thing.
To it. What's that?
You had said that one to me, and I had mentioned the same thing.
I got hammered hard left and right. But, you know, my means is just this. I mean, I know for a fact that there was something in the house and possibly still is because we investigated it, and there is something very powerful there. But, I mean, at the same
that's not to say that these people aren't going to try to church it up even more.
Right, and I mean, look, and this is the number one rule of paranormal investigations. Even though you believe what your clients tell you and you have to, but from the scientific facts, you cannot go by that alone. You have to go and find your own evidence because you never know what's going through these people's minds. You know, you never know what state of mind they're in, what kind of, you know, family
Here's a perfect example. Look at Facebook. Look at how popular it is, you know, and what it boils down to is people want attention.
Yeah,
you know,
well, you're right.
Everyone wants attention. They want that recognition.
I know these people. Jeremy knows these people. I've talked with the clients several times, and I've got this gut feeling that this is 100% legit, you know, and it's just my opinion, my gut feeling.
Right. I mean, you have to take all
that. And if you look... And there's other things in the video, like, it was kind of long at first, like a minute and a half. I wanted to shorten it to be able to put it on Facebook, but you can hear the doorknob rattling, okay? And then you actually see her on the phone. It's shaking. She's shaking. She's scared to death. I mean, you know, and I talk to her, and, you know, just sometimes when I talk to people, I believe them, you know? And sometimes I talk to them, and I don't. And this time I talked to her, and I believed her 100%.
Well,
and that's why... I had no problem.
That's why you always have skeptics because they're not there physically. They don't know these people on a social level. They're just going by what is presented.
Now I've seen this woman.
Whereas you have a rapport with this person.
Yeah.
You've been around them. You can judge them in person. Their character. So you can tell better whether it's, you know, BS or whether, you know, it's maybe something more genuine there.
Well, I've seen this woman get scratched right before my eyes. I've never seen anything like it at all, ever. And
yeah, you showed me those. Yeah.
When I told you about that, everybody knows about this. The second camera picks it up in the video of Springfield, you know, and I watched these scratch marks form, and she just stayed there calm as can be. You can look in her eyes and see fear there and see depression.
Like you and I had spoke, I said, unless someone's standing there watching her fully the whole time or camera's on her the whole time, you're going to have a skeptic say, well, maybe she scratched herself waited a few seconds, and then called your attention to it.
Yeah.
You know, because you know sometimes when you scratch yourself, it usually doesn't turn red and show up until, you know, a few seconds later. So you're always going to have, you know, unless you have a camera right there on her the whole time that they're there with you, you know, to verify that no one touched her, no one off camera, you know, none of that. And I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying unless you have that going on, you're always going to have some skeptics say, well, she did it herself, or maybe she rubbed against a nail in the wall or, you know, a door frame or something like that.
Yeah. And that's true.
It's going to be hard to prove unless you have multiple cameras from different angles on a subject.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be hard to sit there and prove to the biggest skeptic this is what happened.
And what was that evidence that came out like 15, 20 years ago? This place in Kansas, God, I can't remember, but it was like Fox held a special on it, and it was like in 1998 or 1995, where a little girl ghost was scratching the husband of the house, and they actually got it on camera. He wasn't doing it, and you could see the scratch marks start to form. I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about. It was very famous.
There's so many of them. It's,
yes, but there's got to be one of them out there. This is indisputable evidence. Not even a skeptic can say anything.
The point
I'm
trying to make is, though, it's not that I don't believe that she's genuine, because I know better, because I've been there myself. And just the atmosphere of the house, you know that there is something there that is very evil. Okay? And I spoke with her firsthand. You can see the actual terror in her eyes of what's going on. Now, the
right,
only
right.
thing
no,
that
I mean, I'm not trying
is,
to I'm not trying to discredit you or slander
right,
the person. And
of course,
right.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'm saying is, I do this. I go in many haunted houses, okay, and I investigate. And if I was standing at that footstep, and I don't care how many paranormal events I witnessed with my own eyes, whenever I seen that, I would have jerked. Steps back, or you know, some,
right?
There would have been some kind of reaction.
There would have been some bleeping language going on, you know.
I mean, she could just possibly be so numb to it that, you know, I mean, because I have dealt with a case like this before.
Well,
you know,
there could possibly be so numb.
Exactly. I mean, I wasn't trying to discredit anybody, but then, you know, naturally people started attacking me for
well,
it.
Well, you know, my thing is, and I told Chris this also, I believe that there is another realm, dimension, whatever you want to call it. What I don't believe is that every place we go to or every house is going to have that activity in it. You know, I'm not gonna look at a picture and say, oh yeah, that's a ghost instantly.
Right.
You know,
I want to try
to rule out. Well, this could be. You know, it's like I received the image not too long ago, and I'm like, well, the color matches the color of a picture that's hanging on the wall, so it could be some other decor, you know, matching. That just the way the camera and the light played on it, it looks. You know, like a face or whatever. You know, I'm going to try to rule out what it could be.
Wasn't that the one where the face was poking out above the girl's head when she was leaning over?
Yeah. And that's
that's
the one.
Pretty good one.
I'm sorry.
I said you got to admit though that was a pretty good one.
It was very interesting. You know, Chris knows. I'm not going to go and label something just for the sake of labeling it, you know, unless I'm absolutely positively sure that, hey, you know, if it was away from the wall, free-floating, and there wasn't anything else in the room that matched the color, then I'd say, yeah, that's possibly, you know, paranormal.
Yeah.
Well,
you
know, I wasn't there. I can't rule out what exactly was the lay of her room or her house.
And that's what's so great about this field, though, you know, to have that other side,
the people that are skeptics, you know, that are skeptics in that can maybe be, you know, bring your attention to another theory, you know. And to me, that is part of what this field is all about. I mean, as a paranormal investigator, and I guess this was my whole entire point of making my comment on a video, that there was no reaction. As a paranormal investigator, our job is to do what? Investigate, okay? To rule out the natural causes. I mean, you don't walk into a house and hear a noise and automatically, oh, that's a ghost.
Oh,
boy.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
I watch these shows on television, and you've got these jackasses that walk in the house, and you could tell it's a lot of dramatics. Oh, this, I have a feeling the minute I walk in the door, look, goosebumps. Goosebumps are just, you know, anxiety. It could be your own fear. You know, it could be a number of things. It's, goosebumps is not a guaranteed 100% indicator that there's something paranormal going on. You know, and
of
I watch these shows,
and
I'm like, you just walked in the door, and you're already saying the house is haunted?
Of course, there's so many natural causes that can cause people to hallucinate and things like that. In their mind, they think they're seeing this stuff, and in their mind, they're really seeing it. But it could be a natural disaster. You know, I mean, that is our job, to rule these things out. I mean, but people are intent on believing what they want to believe, and they solely believe in their beliefs, and they're so anxious to jump the gun on someone else that may see it in another light.
That's right.
You know, it's
they're,
like,
they're
how
own,
dare you disagree with me, you know?
Their own anxieties, and, you know, you really, investigating, especially, you know, paranormal, the ghost, you really kind of have to have a little background in psychology. That way you can read these people. Because, like you said earlier, you never know what mental state these people are in.
You're right.
And it gets even deeper than that when you go into a location and the people are unstable. Jeremy, our first case was like this. The people are unstable, and you're actually getting activity in the house. I mean, what kind of door does that open? How many questions do you have there? Are they causing?
Well, that's true too. But you know, you can look at that two ways. Is the paranormal activity what's causing their mental instability, or is their mental instability what's causing the paranormal activity?
You're right. And you know, being a paranormal investigator, a true paranormal investigator, is so much more than the general idea that people get of people going into a home with a camera and a digital recorder and stuff like that. There's just so many other levels to it that people just have
well,
no idea.
Well, of course.
You know,
you have to be, you know, you have to be fully attentive. You have to be fully alert to not only what's going on around you, but to the people that you're involved in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I haven't been with you guys on the investigation, so I don't know how you do it. Me personally, I would leave the clients completely away.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I listen to what the clients say, and I take that in, and I try to see if I can get a reaction on things that they tell me to. But as a paranormal investigator, you base your evidence on what you find, not what they tell you.
Right. You can't go by what the client is saying, because, you know, they could on a subliminal level be putting suggestive thoughts in your head. You know, like, oh, there's a ghost here. You know, it's like, it's probably best to say, I'm sorry?
You still have to investigate the claims that they have. If they say this door moved by itself, you have to go and try and debunk it or do different experiments with the door to see
if
there's
anything that caused
that, you know. But as
that's
far
right.
as saying...
Get the information from them, and then, okay, let it go your way, let us do our thing. And then go in there and see what happens to you. You know, another thing that I believe is, you know, it's just like Sasquatch, you know. You go out to the woods, that's not necessarily going to say that a Sasquatch, or even a deer, for example, is going to be in that part of the woods that very instant, that very moment that you're in that part of the woods. I think it's the same with paranormal. You know, I would love to see paranormal investigators be able to investigate for 2-3 nights to a week to see. You know, I mean, if
That's kind of interesting to say that. It's interesting because it's kind of opened up a whole thing about, like, the show Ghost Mine. They're at the same location for months and months and months. Of course, if there's paranormal activity and they're investigators, they're going to get to the bottom of it. You're not going to get to the bottom of it in one night. If you would have filmed Ghost Mine in one night and they just went there, all they got was an EVP and a K2. And same thing like with our basement in Uptown New Orleans. Jeremy, what kind of evidence have we gotten out of there? We've gotten so many questions answered out of that basement because we've done multiple visits. You know, and now, what do we, you know?
I've watched Ghost Mine. I've watched Ghost Mine, and I lost interest in it after like three or four shows because it's like, I can't believe there's that much activity all the time.
Let me tell y'all both a little story about Ghost Mine. Do y'all's research on the characters and the cast of Ghost Mine. Do a little bit of research on their background, and it'll blow your mind of what the networks do. That, you know, these people actually from Ghost Mine, they have no background of paranormal activity whatsoever. I mean, I'm not going to go on the radio and say what it is.
That's one reason I stopped watching it, because I can pick up on that right away, you know. It looked like just two people who were like, hey, it's cool, let's go see if there's ghosts, you know, just two amateurs.
Yeah, you know, and not only that, you know, the girls that they put on there for a reason. I mean, they have a background in modeling and different types of things like that. I'm not going to say specifically, but, you know, that was put there just for audience sake. I mean, let's face it, TV is what it is, and to draw audience, you have to have a bunch of nice looking people on there to draw audience, and that's what they did. I mean,
you got to remember, if you have a show, so like Ghost Hunters or even Ghost Adventures, if you have a show and they go to the house and there's nothing going on, people are going to lose interest. It's a television show. Ratings are what keep it going. So they have to have some kind of excitement to keep people interested, to keep people coming back. I don't really invest too much of my interest or full belief in any of those paranormal investigation shows on television. The one show that I do like a lot is Paranormal Witness. And that's not an investigation. That's just people going in and telling their occurrences and stories that have happened to them. I love that show and the way it's set up and, you know,
and I like the forerunner to that show, which is the show called A Haunting. That was the very first one, and I watched that one too.
There's a new show coming on. I can't remember what it's about, but there's a new show that's going to be very. It's made by the same people that make Paranormal Witness, and it looks to be pretty good. I have to look into it a little bit more.
Well, a little fun fact for y'all. Kristen Luhmann is the co-star of Ghost Mine. She's the girl in there that's the paranormal investigator. And she's from Portland, Oregon. She lives in Los Angeles, California. And she was actually in a couple of horror movies, very low-budget horror movies.
Right.
So, I mean, that goes along with Jeremy was saying, you know. And her work occupation was hypnotherapy. So she's a Los Angeles.
It is possible that an actress can also be interested in paranormal, but you got to take into consideration this is an actress. You know, that's her job is to dramatize.
Was that kind of discredit anything? Do you think?
I'm sorry.
Does that discredit anything in your eyes? Any of her. Evidence or getting or the way she reacts towards evidence or investigating because she's an actress.
I wouldn't say it discredits it. I would say that it warrants further thoughts, further investigating, and not just jump to the conclusion, oh, yeah, this woman must know what she's doing, you know?
Yeah.
You have to take everything, you have to take it more with a grain of salt. Than if it was just, if you got an actress and then you've got someone who has went to college and studied, you know, all the factors surrounding paranormal activity, who are you gonna believe most? You know, and I wouldn't say it discredits her because there may be some genuine occurrences happening with her.
Yeah,
but you've got to take it, and you've got to, you know, you've got to weigh it. You know, if you put full faith in everything on TV, then I mean, you really need some serious help. You know.
No, yeah, definitely. Like, well, the Ghost Adventures crew, Zach, Nick, and Aaron, they all went to film school.
That's right.
You know? And they did the documentary because apparently Zach had a paranormal experience.
Yeah, Zach is an egotistical, you know, I probably shouldn't be saying that, but...
We're not going to get into that. We're just, you know, talking about backgrounds.
I know some people that have actually met him in person, and, you know, the A word comes up a lot.
Yeah. That's too bad, you know. So.
Yeah.
I mean,
in
my opinion, and as far as the paranormal shows go, which, of course, I do not really care for his show much, is Haunted Collector. I mean, Haunted Collector, he has a very distinguished background in demonology. But
don't get me started on that show.
I don't care for that show. I don't believe in the whole.
To me, that sounds like a perfect scam. These people say, oh, I'm experiencing paranormal activity. Oh, let me go and look at your house and see what's old and antique and expensive that I can try to get off of you. Oh, listen, this real expensive, priceless vase. Yeah, it's haunted. I need to take it with me. Yeah,
Exactly. They base the Warrens and the Conjuring off of just taking items from people and the hauntings and stuff, and they put them, all of them, in the room. And once a month, a priest comes by and blesses the room, and all these haunted artifacts
stay in check.
They show his house, and he's got all this supposedly haunted crap in this one room, but yet he has no paranormal activity in that room. You know, to me, it's the same thing as, you know, after a hurricane, you get all these con artists that go around, hey, let me fix your roof for you, or, you know, it's the same thing.
And that just kind of gives us a bad name, because people see that and they believe that. Oh, you know, I had a client who talked about, you know, she saw The Conjuring, and then after she saw The Conjuring, she called me up, and she's like, well, I only shopped at thrift stores, and I bought antique items, and this and that. You know, I can't do that anymore, because I'm so afraid that I'm going to bring home a haunted item. And I tried explaining to her that that's not true, and it's not going to happen, but, you know, the movies made her mind up more than I could. So, and it's just, it's really bad, and things actually affect people.
If that was the case, I know a few hoarders that you guys need to investigate.
Yeah. So, all right, we're kind of going on to that. Brian, let's bring up the topic, aliens. Okay, we got different theories. I'm just going to throw the theory out there that we talked about before. And are aliens acting like ghosts to trick us into believing more in religion?
Well, I mean, there's no, you know, it's all conjecture, it's all theory. There's no evidence to prove that. But it is widely believed that, and this is probably going to make a few people angry, this is widely believed that alien race created religion to keep us from having knowledge of our true origins. Now, whether aliens are manipulating a ghost, or, you know, who knows? We really don't know. I think that the human brain is a lot more there's a lot more to it than we know about.
We all used to.
Certain ideas and images can be implanted into us.
Mm-hmm.
The belief in ghosts, or seeing the old dead relatives. You know, I believe that all that can be, if you go with the theory that we were created by an alien race, we're being monitored, we're being researched, we're being examined, impregnated, DNA eggs taken from us. If you go into all of that, then it's not very hard to believe that we're just rat animals. You know, lab animals. We're just rats.
Kind of like I don't know if you ever seen Men in Black, but when they had the universe on the little cat, and the universe was, it was an actual universe, and how small it
right.
was, if you think about it, because
right.
on here on the planet, we're far from rats. I mean, we're superior. We reign supreme, over all other species. And so, but you look at something like that kind of theory out there that, we're not, and the universe is a lot bigger.
Well, you have to. I mean, you really, really have to look back in history. You really, really have to look back in history and do your homework. And, even a lot of the stuff in the Bible, if you read it carefully, and if you read it with the idea that extraterrestrials and UFOs, even a lot of that stuff in the Bible makes more sense then, we're talking a fiery chariot that landed on a mountain, thunder, smoke. Why would God have to do that?
Yeah.
If God wanted to present himself, he would just present himself. There would be no need for all the dramatics.
Yeah, that's true. And I hate to keep using movie references here, but the new Star Trek movie, the latest one, the very beginning, that small species sees the ship, and they stop worshiping whatever it was they worshiped before, and they start worshiping that ship,
There you go. There you go right there, man. You have to think of our ancestors who had no knowledge whatsoever of anything technical or mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they see, they're going to compare it to something on the planet that they see already. A flying serpent. Okay, that could be a ship with a very long contrail.
Yeah.
You have to think the most basic, simplest line of thinking that you can to understand.
Let's talk about facts. Is there a structure in Peru that is not man-made, made by something else, and looks like it was used for, mining gold or something like that? They have the man-made structures on top of it, but underneath it, they have this whole other structure that couldn't have been made by man that long ago.
You're not talking about the Nazca lines, are you?
I think so, yes.
Where they have all the lines and the monkey and the astronaut etched into the mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, why would they do that? First of all, it can only be seen from the sky.
Yep.
That's it. In fact, their exact precise alignment of all of this and the detail, I couldn't even go out there and do that today. I'm an artist. I can't go out there and put a bunch of rocks together and make a huge astronaut or monkey and have it all proportionate and to scale.
Mm-hmm.
How did they do that? We don't know.
The most
ancient text is the Sumerian tablets that they found and they translated. They could have translated it wrong, but it talks about the Anunnaki who came here, saw what was here, took what was here, which leads more to the Sasquatch, took what was here, altered its DNA, and created a worker class to mine gold, supposedly to put in their atmosphere on their planet because their planet was a dying world.
Now, how would gold help out an atmosphere? I don't understand that.
Well, you have to understand the properties of gold. First of all, gold is not native to our planet. Gold actually comes from stars exploding. In fact, I just watched a show not too long ago on that. What happened was gold came here. It landed on the planet. and it was so hot that it was a liquid form. And then over time, it cooled into the veins and you know, compressed. Gold is it'll never tarnish, it'll never rust. It is very it conducts electricity very well, the best conductor of electricity.
Yeah.
And that's
I used to be a jeweler a few years ago, and I could tell you about diamonds, and I didn't know that gold came from that way. I thought it was a natural source of the earth, but I can tell you gold won't rust, you know. It is the best source to conduct electricity.
Well, that's,
you know, and it's a rarity
plus the fact, plus the fact that it's so rare. Do you know that if we were able to go to the earth's core, there would be enough gold to cover the entire world in a 12-foot thick layer.
That's a lot of gold.
The closer you get to the Earth's core, the more, you know, the more there is. The fact that it's rare and the fact that it has all those properties, that's what makes gold so valuable to us as humans. That's why we decided to make it our currency, you know,
yeah,
as opposed to, say, silver or lead or iron.
Mm-hmm.
Because of its value. And then, you know, the Mayans, you know, they didn't use gold as currency. They only made fabulous statues with it. They didn't have currency. It was the Europeans and the Romans that decided, hey, we're going to take gold and use it as currency. So when they came over here to the Americas, they plundered the Mayans. They took all their, you know, gold statues, melted it down, and turned it into more currency for them. So basically they came over, you know, and robbed them.
Well, pure gold, you can cut through with a butter knife. That's why you always see those, when people find gold, you know, working the pan, they bite into it. Because if you can bite into it, it's real. And another thing is, you know, you could take an ounce of gold and stretch it over a half mile long.
Yeah.
You know, gold is really flexible without breaking. You know,
the show was probably on about a week ago. And it was all about gold. But, you know, there's no other material that we know of to date. There's no other material in the universe like gold.
No, there's nothing. Yeah. We haven't found it.
And going back to what I had mentioned, you know, that's what this ancient text said, is that we were created to mine this gold for this alien race because they didn't want to have to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pretty much left here, you know, see what, you know, what happened. I mean, look at recent. Let's go into recent history, okay? I mean, up until like the 1930s and 40s, I mean, we were barely, you know, barely existing, you know.
Yeah.
We're talking Little House on the Prairie stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And then what happened? What happened? What happened?
The Revolution. And what
have
we done?
What happened in the 40s? What happened in the 40s?
Well,
first of all.
Roswell.
We started
Roswell.
Experimenting.
See, that's what.
Yep.
That's where I want to get at Roswell. That.
We started
what's your
experimenting
theory
with nuclear. I believe it. I believe it's factual. I believe it happened. We started experimenting with nuclear. We started dropping nuclear bombs out there. That's going to draw the attention. I mean, if you're an alien race, which I don't believe, quote, alien race is as alien as what most people think. I think they're here. I think they've been here. I mean, we have a very huge ocean.
I think they have bases under the ocean. And I think the U.S. government...
I'll delve into that. I'll delve into that here in a minute. But, you know, I believe that, you know, something nuclear, that's a major threat. That's something very dangerous. I think that's going to draw attention. And I believe that's what they were doing out there in Roswell, was scoping things out. Supposedly lightning or something hit the ship, and it crashed, and the government steps in. They put out in the paper, hey, we've got an alien ship, all right? And then, what, 2 days later, Yeah, Sergeant Major says, no, 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 we ain't going to put that out there. And they retracted.
Well,
and,
let me ask you a question. What about the alien autopsy? What is your take on that?
I have to remain just completely open to that one. You know, I've watched shows and I've watched these special effects artists, numerous special effects artists take it apart, and they say there's no way in hell.
There's no way they could duplicate that today.
That's right. That
I mean, even Stan Winston has come out and said that.
Yeah, exactly. They dated the film, and there's no way they had this type of material back then. Sam Winston said, I couldn't even do that today. He said, if it's fake and I find out who made it, they have a job instantly.
Right. And too, like they said, I mean, they even had a doctor on and said that, you know, it wasn't just actors because they were actually following standard autopsy procedures.
Yep, I watched that
for
same
that time.
Show. Yep.
You know, and even how Stan Winston talks about, you know, when they're sawing into the head and they peel the skin back, even how
well,
like
the moisture. That's
the
right.
Moisture.
He's like,
right.
I cannot. He's like, I have tried, and there's no way I can make that moisture on that brain.
You're right.
There's no way.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
after watching that, I mean, I was totally convinced. And I have seen specials on that.
But
before,
you have to look at it like this.
Like,
you know, that's when our technological boom happened.
It did. You're right. You're absolutely right. And, I mean, there is a guy that says that when Roswell crashed, you know, he's come out and spoke publicly that he was in charge of, you know, trying to reverse engineer some of the stuff that they were wearing, which turned out to be Kevlar and you know, the wiring and stuff. Yeah, he disappeared. You're right.
He went a real goofy-looking guy, looked kind of like Stephen King.
Yes, that was him, you know.
It's my belief that the government – here's what I believe. The government has a deal with this alien race. They know that this alien race, if they want to, they can wipe us off the face of the planet instantly. They have a deal with them. Hey, we'll give you technology. Yeah, you can scoop up a couple of humans here and there, you know, for the greater good of the population. So, you know, we're getting their technology. We're working, I believe we're working with this alien race. I believe that the aliens are here. They're here on Earth, in the ocean, in underground caverns. I know for a fact that there's a government facility in Florida, on the coast of Florida. It's supposed to be special underwater research. There's huge huge cables coming out of the size of the tires. Huge cables the size of tires coming out of this base going off into the ocean. Ironically, in the exact location of the Bermuda Triangle. Where's all that power going?
You're right.
That's just one of the things you see. What are some other things that you've noticed that has drawn this conclusion?
What do you mean? As far as
why do you believe they're walking among us? You know, why do you think that the government knows?
I'm not going to say that they're walking among us. Like, you know, they can change their shape and all that. You know, I'm not saying that, but. I am fully aware that when we went to the moon, there's a reason that was the last time we went to the moon. Even astronaut Buzz Aldrin said that when they were on the moon, there was a certain segment of time that was cut from the public. Their job on the moon was to go and research what they believed to be extraterrestrial life on the moon. What we saw, that was just the show. That wasn't the real mission, the real reason for going there.
Mm-hmm.
The real reason was going there was to try to make contact with this extraterrestrial race to see if it was there on the moon, to try to make contact with it. That's that's the real reason we were in a competition with Russia, because whoever can make contact with that race and get their technology becomes the leading superpower in the world. And there's recordings. I've heard them. There's recordings of the astronauts. There's recording of not Buzz Aldrin, but one of the other ones, where he says, "We see things moving up here. We're not alone up here." And they describe
bases.
They went to the dark side of the moon, and they described numerous bases on that on the other side of the moon. And basically, we're told this is our domain. Don't come back. That's why we've never been back.
Right. I mean, I've heard of the bases that supposedly on the backside of the moon. And if you notice, there has never been any photographs of the moon that was taken from the backside of the moon. And what gets me is the public never, you know, questions about it. I mean, there are no known existing photographs of the backside of the moon.
It goes back to one word that I know, Chris, you've heard me say a million times, sheep. We're sheep. We believe whatever they want us to believe, and they know that. The government knows that.
Oh, yes. I can definitely say that.
Well, I want to bring up another topic here, and I don't know if anybody's seen this YouTube video. You probably have. I watched it. It's a retired CIA agent that exposes the truth about aliens. And,
is it the tall white? Well, he's the one that just come out recently about the tall white. He was at a base, and, I mean, he just wrote a book about it, and he's been speaking publicly about it for the past 2 years, about the tall whites out of Nevada over there.
Well apparently this one has 6 months to live. He was dying. Jim Mars, that's the author of Alien Agenda. Nick Rothram. Well, there, apparently what the story is, a man sits here and confesses and states that he started off being recruited into the Army, and he was in a class about certain things. And anyways, he got invited to join the CIA. And what they did, their job was to go around and investigate paranormal articles that happened around the world or the country. And one day they got booted up to, like, high clearance, and they got called into the president's office. And Area 51 wasn't owned by the government then, back in the 50s. It was owned by a private company. And apparently they were the ones that had the Roswell crash and all that stuff. And what had happened was they wouldn't talk to President Roosevelt. Yeah, they wouldn't talk to him. So what they did, what Roosevelt did, he said, I'm sending you, these two CIA agents, over there to tell them if they do not come and talk to me, if they're not in my office in the next 48 hours talking to me, telling me about this, I am going to send the 1st Brigade of Colorado Infantry over there, and we're going to take over Area 51. So he says, okay, so they get on a plane, and they fly over to Nevada, and they go to Area 51, and they go into, like, a whole bunch of bunkers. It's like layers of bunkers. And his boss, which was his partner, goes and talks to the other boss, and he's standing there, and he's looking in these different rooms, and he actually sees what is an alien body sitting right there. So, and he describes the whole thing, and pretty much, you know, they go back and they talk to the president. It's a very interesting video. And this man's in his, like, you know, 70s, 80s, and you can tell, you know, he doesn't have much longer to live. And I don't know if y'all saw that, but I'm going to post a link on our Facebook page about it. But
he's at a retirement home.
Every UFO report or alien abduction report all goes to one particular guy. He's a billionaire, and he's trying to build his own space station.
Good luck.
They're trying their hardest to get what he knows, get the information that he knows. They're trying to get that and get it out.
Wasn't he on Joe Rogan's experience?
Yeah, they did talk about him. That's the guy. Yeah, they did talk about him. You know, One of the best shows. Now you got this show. You got to kind of, you know, you got to kind of watch it with an open mind, because you know you've got some people on the show. The show's Ancient Aliens. You got some people on the show like the big poofy haired guy that everything is an alien. So you've got to kind of.
That's the one that wears makeup.
You know?
Yeah.
Giorgio. You've got to kind of dissect what you believe to be truthful from, you know, the people who want everything to be alien, you know. A lot of it, when they talk about certain archaeological places and certain artifacts, a lot of that is true, you know. But when they go and say, oh, you know, the water moved this way, it must have been an alien, you know, that's just speculation, you know. You can't take that in. But that show is one of the best, as far as on television right now, one of the best for putting the information out there.
Well, all right, I gotta turn it a little bit this way. I got a question. This is for both of y'all. Who has more evidence out there, and who has proven these theories? Who's more on the brink of proving the truth? You know, ghosts, spirits, UFOs, Bigfoot, the Loch Ness. What's on the top? What's number one that you guys think that's going to be proven first?
What do I think is going to be proven first?
Yeah,
well,
that
all depends on how you look at it. I mean, there's many that would say that there's already proof, you know, that's just being swept under, you know, carpet. As far as UFOs goes, and a lot of people would say that they have proof of ghosts on their video. Well, you know, it's up to interpretation, but, you know, there's people that say that they have proof of Sasquatch. You know, I know that they're real. I've seen them. So, you know, it's really hard. It's really hard to pinpoint that. As far as the aliens and UFOs goes, I don't think that'll ever be fully admitted. Not by our government. I mean, other countries, Britain, other countries have come out and divulged what they knew. Our government, no. Why? Because our government is the one that is in the tightest relation with this extraterrestrial race. And it's not just one race. There's more than one. But our government is the one that's getting the most benefit from it, the most technology. You know, I mean, you can just look at it, and it's evidence. I mean, even the human species has changed since the 1950s. You know, my kid is you know, this is not a two-mile horn or anything, but my kid is a lot smarter today than I ever was at her age.
Yeah.
You know, so and you can pretty much trace that back to when it all started happening. You know, it's like, okay, maybe there has been abductions. Maybe certain things have been altered and manipulated in our genetic code. You know, I do. Speaking of genetic code, I also know that our DNA code has certain genomes in it that are not from Earth.
Yeah,
and that's a very recent discovery as well.
Well, how did they discover that?
By taking the DNA strand apart piece by piece, and because you know every animal on Earth will have a similar DNA code up to a certain point, you know, which proves that creature was terrestrial on this planet. And yeah, we have some of that, but we also have some that doesn't match anything else on our planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they're basing their theory off of. And a lot of scientists are starting to lean more towards it, that we are not original to this planet. You know, there's no rational explanation for why humans are on this planet. you know, aside from God and religion, you know, if you subscribe to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are totally different from any other planet. We have vocal cords. We have a way to communicate totally differently from any other animal. We have the rationalization, the ability to rationalize, more so than any other creature on this planet. Even our closest, quote, relatives, primates. Why?
Yeah.
You know? And this whole thing, evolution, I don't buy the evolution one bit. If we evolved from apes and primates, you would go to the zoo right now and you would see an ape somewhere in the process of evolving into a human.
And we've talked about that. Why is it that so many people believe in evolution? We have yet to actually see it right before our own eyes. If science has proven it and they're teaching it in schools, how come we're not looking at it?
That's right. Why are we not continuing to evolve? Why is it, you know, I mean, I don't see an elephant changing into something else, you know. I don't, like I said, you don't go to the zoo and see a chimpanzee, you know. If evolution was real, you would see different variations of that evolution even today. You would see a chimpanzee right at the start of becoming human. You would see one in the middle process of becoming human, and then you'd see one even closer to becoming human. We would see that today if evolution was true.
It'd be like Return of the Planet Apes. You know, you'd go, no!
Exactly.
But, I mean,
exactly.
If we spawned from monkeys in the middle of evolution, you know, I mean, you wouldn't just see, like, standing up monkeys or more developed monkeys, wouldn't you? I mean, they would start to lose their hair, their features would start to change. Or
that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't subscribe to
that point right there. Totally crushes, in my eyes, the evolution theory. But haven't they made evolution a law? Haven't they said that evolution has been proven?
I think that. And see, when Darwin came up with that theory, he was over on the Galapagos Island, and he was looking at animals.
Uh-huh.
So I think that evolution does hold true for certain species. I don't think it holds true for us.
Why is that? Why would it be certain species and not us?
Because we are not original to this planet. We are a result of what was original combined with whatever was done to create it.
I need to buckle up because I'm crawling up in your head and I don't know if I'm going to make it out. Somebody's going to have to pull me. All right. It's really interesting that you say all that stuff. Jeremy, what do you think about all that?
I'm like right on with him, dude. I mean, I'm like just sitting here listening to him, and he's like, all these theories that he has are the same theories that I play out in my own head.
Yeah. What is it going to take to prove this stuff? What is it going to take for us to bring facts to the table? Because everything that people say are facts, we look at and dissect it, and we can bash it, you know, just like they can bash our, you know, Jeremy and I's ghost thing, you know? I mean, how are we going to say
that? Well, see, the thing is, Chris, I think the facts are there already, but people are going to, they're sheep, just like Brian said. People are smart individually, but as a race, people are sheep. They're going to believe what the majority tells them to believe, okay? And it's a way to control people. And I just think that the evidence is there if anyone really wants to look at it and really look into it. I mean, it's right there in front of you. You know, I mean, you got to use your own judgment on it. I mean, I think that the facts are there, even like when it comes to UFOs, Roswell, just like you said, after the 50s is when we had this big technological boom. I mean, it's right there in front of your face, but people believe what they are told to believe instead of, you know, going out rogue, as you would say, and find out for themselves.
That's right. They're always going to, you know, the government, whoever, you know, Big Brother, whoever you want to label it, they're always going to put misinformation out there to basically make us doubt ourselves, you know,
I mean,
and
exactly.
to make us think that what they're saying is factual.
I mean, think about this. If the human race cannot be controlled in the means of religion, government, or whatsoever, think of what the world would be like. You know, so that is why you have government and things like that to try to persuade the human race into
believing what they want you to believe. I mean, you know, if the government was to fully come out and tell us, you know, yeah, you know, we're not alone, there's a superior race, we will lose all confidence. First of all, the whole entire government system will completely take a crap. Religion will completely take a crap.
You're right.
The history books will be completely worthless. You know, the chaos that it would cause just on a social aspect would be tremendous. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, if you're at a job and you're a supervisor, right, and you're doing your job, your guys are following you, and then you have someone come in and try to take over that and tell these guys something completely different than what you have trained these guys to do. You know, it's the same thing. These guys will no longer have respect for you and look to you as the authoritative figure, the protector, the one who's got his crap together.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing. It's the same reason the government will never come out and say, yeah, you know, we're not in control.
I mean, just imagine what would happen if the government did come out and say, look, we're not in control of our skies. People would absolutely lose their minds. You would have riots in the streets. People would go absolutely crazy.
Yeah, because they think we don't have to listen to these guys anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not our superiors. They're not our authoritative figures. They're not our wardens. You know, there's something else. It would be chaos.
Hey guys, we're gonna go ahead and take a quick 10-minute break. We're gonna go ahead into the screening room and talk a little bit more. Just give it just a few seconds.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass. 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are. As my memory but never forgets what I lost. Wake me up when September ends.
Yeah.
Okay, and welcome back to Project Paranormal. We're talking with Brian Sons. Brian, I have a question. Since we're on the subject about UFOs and ufology, just recently here in the past 2 years, a guy's come forward that talks about the Tall Whites. The Tall Whites is an alien species that's fairly new to us. Have you heard anything of that?
I haven't heard anything about the Tall Whites. I mean, I haven't heard or saw the report that you're mentioning, but I know that throughout history there's been numerous different races mentioned and described. That's why I say that it's not just one particular race. I mean, you have the grays, you have the taller ones. The first time I hear of a white, I've heard of tall, almost luminescent, transparent flesh color. Maybe that's similar to the white, but there's numerous different races that, if you look back in history in India, there's a particular drawing, wood carving, I believe, that depicts a battle taking place in the sky between two different factions of these extraterrestrial races. You know, if you go even further, the Greek Prometheus, that story, you know, supposedly the gods created us, and there's one particular god who wanted to make us equal to the gods that created us. So he introduces man to fire. And the other guys really didn't, were upset about that, and they cast him out. And, you know, you see those particular stories throughout all different aspects of religion. I mean, even the Bible, you know, Satan, the cast out angel. So, you know, it's so interesting. If you look into it, the information is there. You know,
right.
and the theory goes that the aliens created us, and a certain faction didn't want us to evolve and to be as successful as we are, and another faction kind of nudged us, similar to the Prometheus story with the fire. They kind of nudged us. They kind of tweaked us, whether genetically, mentally, technologically. However, they tweaked us to become more than what we were originally designed or created to be. You know, and this is not, you know, all this talk, this is not to say, you know, this is not saying that there isn't a God. Not at all. This just adds to it. It's not saying that there isn't a supreme creator, a supreme being. You know, not in the least. This is just a different way of looking at what has been presented to us. You know.
Right, and I totally agree with that. Well, this guy, he just recently retired from the military about 10 years ago, and he was he does something with upper atmosphere. He was kind of something like a weatherman or whatever for the military. And he was stationed at a old testing range on the outside of Nellis Air Force Base. And he said that he was there for 2.5 years, and he had complete access throughout the whole base. He did not have to have a top secret security clearance or anything like that. And he says that base where he was is where they have a base station, what he calls the Tall Whites. And basically what the Tall Whites are is he describes them as they're the most humanoid-looking alien race out there. In other words, they look just like us basically, except he says that they're up to 7 foot tall. They have real pale white skin, and the only thing that really makes them different than us is their eyes are bigger than ours, and their nostrils are slightly different than ours. And he says that, you know, they fly in from a spaceship from their planet to the base here, and there's generals that meet with them and everything else, and, you know.
Right.
And they actually repair their ship and stuff with parts that are made here on Earth that they actually import, the government imports for them to repair their ships and stuff whenever they depart. And he says a ship comes in once a month. He says it's like clockwork. The ship will come in once a month and then one will depart the next day. And he says, you know, the rule is you keep your distance. He said that during his time there, he was very terrified of them at first when he first encountered them. And, you know, and as he was there over a period of time, he kind of really got to know them. He said that you don't really talk to them a whole lot, you know, because it's kind of against the rules, but you do have a little bit of conversations with them. He says some of them don't know English, but there are some that speak English. And he said that they're different than we are, that they could actually live to be 300 or 400 years old. What happens is the way they age is that their body continues to grow. For the first 100 years, they'll grow to about 7 foot tall, and they'll stay that height for you know, another 100 years or so, and then their body will start growing again. And what happens is their internal organs cannot support the weight of their bodies, and that's how they end up being deceased. And as far as we know, the white race will not share. They won't. They share knowledge with us, but they will not share any technological advancements with the United States.
Anybody with any common sense could see what we try to do with, you know,
right.
technology.
Right. You're right. I mean, it's like they say, you know, they will not, you know, share any of their technological advancements with us, but they will share knowledge and stuff like that. But it's very interesting, and he says that, you know, they are basically free to roam around the desert at night, and he says there are times at night where he would be in the desert, you know, doing something, you know, as far as work doing in the atmosphere and stuff, and he'll run across them. And, and like he says, they're very similar to humans, and if you don't, if you just happen to glance at them, you will never know the difference. And he even talks about a group of them that actually, you know, puts on clothes and stuff. I mean, they even have hair. The females have hair just like us, and they have female features just like us. And, you know, they'll put on sunglasses and stuff, and hats, and they'll actually go to Vegas. You know, but there's always military support with them. I mean, they're not able to just roam around there freely. I mean, they're being watched. But, I mean, you just listen to his story and how he explains these things. And at first, you know, you kind of listen to it. Yeah, right, they're going to walk around Vegas. That sounds kind of cuckoo, right? But when you actually sit there and watch the video, and you can find it on YouTube, if anyone out there is listening, all you have to do is go to YouTube and type in tall white aliens, and listen to his video. He spoken publicly at different conventions and stuff like that. Very, very interesting story. And this man, he's talking, he seems very sincere in what he's saying.
That does sound interesting. We might have to get that link and put it on the Facebook page.
Yes, it is very interesting. I was blown away. I mean, I just happened to run across it, and I was like, tall whites, I've never heard of that before. And I started listening to it, and it was just mind-blowing.
A lot of it sounds believable.
Yeah, it does. And he even makes a statement in there about the grays. You know, that the grays are like the bad guys, and the tall whites are kind of like the good guys. You know, but he does say that the grays are actually working hand-in-hand with the military, you know, from his knowledge. I mean, he says he has not experienced that firsthand, but he has heard, you know, through the military channels that the grays are working. No, it wasn't that he heard it through the military channels. He heard it through the in his conversations with the tall whites. And so, you know, and that's not the first time that I've heard that the Gray's agenda has more of a dark side to it.
I've always kind of felt that the Gray's were like drones, if you will.
Yeah,
to something a little bit more. Yeah,
right.
They're if you think in the aspects of ants or even worker bees. Yeah, that's kind of the generalization that I've given to the grays.
Yes, they're like a biological entity. Yeah, I've heard that on several occasions too. When you get on YouTube, and actually after, you know, hearing about the tall whites, it kind of spiked my interest. So I started listening to other speakers and stuff that was at all these conferences and stuff like that. And, you know, some of the stuff that these people talk about as far as the government in contact, working with, you know, alien races where the United States is doing experiments with the aliens and the aliens are doing experiments with the humans, it's actually really scary.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's so much more going on that that we will never be aware of. You know, and it's all under the guise of it. We're doing it for the betterment of humankind, and, you know. But realistically,
yeah.
You know, the odds of that are probably slim. Whereas the truth is more likely they're doing it to benefit themselves and their technological base, you know, the U.S. military and the weapons defense, you know, it's not for us, the people, you know. I mean, if just look at what's going on in with our government today, you know. I mean, this, they really don't care about us, the people, you know.
No, they don't. I mean, and it's sad to say, and I'm really kind of scared of where our world and our race as a species is headed right now. I mean, it's just, and you look 50 years into the future or 100 years in the future, and it's really scary to me to know where we're headed. If something doesn't happen and humanity itself doesn't change into another direction,
You got to look at the government kind of like a little kid, you know. The more they can get away with, the more they're going to keep the same, you know.
Yes.
It's like these high gas prices. You know, everybody's like, "Oh, gas is going to go down." No, it's not. No, it might go down a little bit, but it'll never go back to $1.35 a gallon. Why? Because they know they can get $4 a gallon now. You know, why change it back? You know, hey, they're getting more money for it. They're getting away with it. Keep it, you know?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I can remember as a kid when gas was $1.09. I mean, I had a little Ford Ranger. I could put $5 in my truck and ride around all night long.
That's right. You know, it's the same with everything. You know, you got to put everything with the government into that same aspect. You know, all this crap with Obama and his administration, you know, there's people that say, "Oh, when we get a new president, it's all going to change." No, it's not. No, it's not. They're going to say, "Well, if he got away with this, I'm going to see if I can get away with this."
You're exactly right.
You know, it's just like a kid. It's just going to be more, you know?
Yes, most definitely.
It's going to continue. Let's see how far we can push the American population. Let's see just how much we can get away with. You know, and that's you give them an inch, they want a mile, and that's what it boils down to. You know.
Yes, most definitely.
If we can do it, we're going to do it. You know, basically, you know, like the whole gas thing when it first went up, you know, that was kind of a test of the waters. Yeah, sure, people got pissed off at first, you know, but people got used to it, and, you know, there's still occasional moan and groan here and there. But, okay, so it worked, you know, we can keep it at that. You know, it's the same with everything with the government. It's the same. We're nothing but sheep, and so many people are so delusional not to see that. You know, and it wouldn't surprise me if somewhere down the line, if there's not another revolution, you know, the people rise up against the government. The way things are going, you know, eventually, you know, you can only kick somebody when they're down so much. Eventually, they're going to either croak or they're going to stand up and fight for themselves. You know, as far as the government goes, I don't trust the government. I don't believe anything they say. I hardly ever watch the news and all that other propaganda crap. You know, it's the same thing, you know.
They say is misleading, and we don't ever, it's a lot of lies for both parts. Let's not turn this into a political thing, but, you know, let's just say if, you know, there was extraterrestrial activity going on Earth, what did the government tell us about it? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. In fact, In fact, I know they wouldn't, because you know it's already happening. You know, if you go back all the way to Roswell, and perhaps even before then, you know, I mean, they had to have some knowledge of extraterrestrial previously. And from what I've heard, there was a previous crash. That's why they were so rushed to get to Roswell. That's why they pretty much kind of knew how to handle the situation, aside from exposing, oh, we found a saucer, you know?
Well, a lot of people believe that the Germans was actually the first ones to get their hands on alien technologies. That's why after the war happened, they realized how far in advance the German scientists actually were.
Really?
That may be, I can't say one way or another towards that. You know, it may be true, it may not be true. I haven't heard anything. You know, I do know that Hitler was obsessed with extraterrestrial aliens. They were trying to build one, I know that. In Kessel, Pennsylvania? There was a large
acorn
crowd.
Shaped.
Yes. And it resembled greatly the Bell machine that Hitler was trying to have his scientists create, which was supposed to be a time machine.
Right.
So
Hitler was trying to create a time machine.
Right.
A lot of people believe he actually did.
Well, that's funny, because I don't know if y'all are...
About
how the Russians beat America to Germany, okay, or Berlin. And he was in his bunker with his wife or girlfriend, you know, whoever she was, and they say that he committed suicide. And when they found the body, it was outside after the Russians, because the Russians took Berlin before the Americans did. Because we were going in from both sides. They were coming in from the east. We were coming in from the west. And they got there first. And so apparently what they did is they found the body right outside the bunker. But it kind of looked like him, but it didn't. And then they took evidence of it, but apparently it was someone who was 28 years old. So technically we don't know if Hitler was really captured or killed. We don't know that.
No, I mean, there's several stories that he actually escaped.
Well, you know, you can find conspiracy theories in everything. You know, if you look deep enough.
Well,
I
saw pictures of the body. That did not look like him at all. I mean, I was like, come on.
Well, I don't know. I've never seen Hitler in person. You know.
Well, you know, I did a while back when I was teeing off, you know, on par 9.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah,
I mean, you see
you.
Video of the guy. The guy was in his 40s, you know, or like early 50s. And the picture I saw looked like a young man. You know, and he was badly burned. And they say
it would only make sense that someone with that much power, someone pissing people
That's
off
crazy.
As much as he did, would have a double.
Well, yeah,
I'm
sure he had several. I mean, look at Saddam Hussein. He had a lot of dictators have doubles. I mean, Saddam Hussein had several, you know. The Taliban, Bin Laden, he had doubles, you know. And to me, it just seems that someone in Hitler's, like you said, had as much power as Hitler did to simply just go out that simple and just have it end that simple. It's just kind of ironic to me. I mean, could it have happened? Yeah, of course it could. I mean, he wasn't going to be captured by the Russians or the Americans. There was no way he was going to let that happen. That's most certainly.
Yeah, but at the same time, you have to ask yourself: is his ego that bad that he would take his own life? You know.
Right.
That's a double sword right there, man. You know, I mean, he would. he would have the attitude that, you know, if anybody's going to take my life, it's going to be me. It's not going to be these Russians, you know. And he was that crazy, you know. He shot himself up.
That could work every single day.
Every day.
That could work.
He had the doctor give him methamphetamine so he can do his speeches. And he had syphilis. And what is syphilis?
But you know what? You know what? That could work the other way. You know, he could have such an ego that he think, to hell with the Americans, I'm not giving them the satisfaction of me taking my own life, nor am I going to give them the satisfaction of capturing me. So I'm going to haul ass.
He had to have an escape plan for Berlin. I know we've gotten way off topic of the whole paranormal thing, but this has to do with kind of paranormal because, you know, we can't explain it. There's no real evidence out there that the Russians ever gave us that they actually got Hitler, you know, and... You know, he was certifiably insane because he had syphilis and it was eating his brain away, and he was on methamphetamine every day. Syphilis, methamphetamines, already delusional paranoia. Oh, yeah, definitely. It wouldn't put it past me.
Oh, I'm not going to sit here and say he wasn't insane. I mean, the evidence is there. You know, I'm not condoning anything he did at all. But the answers that we're seeking, I believe, is all going to be made evident only when we pass away.
Yeah, it's like Rick Hale always says. He says all the experts are dead because you're not going to find out until you die. Yeah.
That's right.
But, I mean, like, yeah, with the theories that you're throwing out there, Brian, with the aliens and everything, are we even going to know that? You know, and I know you said that you don't
believe so. Okay, you got to look at it like this. Okay, and this, I mean, well, you don't have to, but this is the way I look at it. You know, we're all made up of energy. Energy never dies; it just takes another shape, another form. I believe everything on this planet has a specific energy signature to that particular race. In other words, you're not going to come back as a dog. You're not going to come back as a bird. You know,
yeah,
you're going to come back reborn as another baby with no memory of your previous life. You know, it's everything on this planet
incarnation
through time is recyclable. It is very naive for us to think that we are the only thing on this planet that's not recyclable. You know, I believe that, you know, when we die, there's a reason for death. We're all born to do it.
Yeah,
so
everybody.
I don't think it's the end. You know, I think it's just doorway, another path, another journey.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about it. When you're born, there's two things you're definitely going to do in life. That's pay taxes and die. So, you know.
Yeah. You know, and people are like, well, what is the purpose of life? Well, you know, that's for each person to figure out. You know, I think the purpose of life is, you know, to express love and teach love and try to, you know, try to make that more
exactly.
So. That's the only
exactly.
thing.
That's what somebody posted on Facebook the other night. They said, what's the meaning of life? We'll never know. And I was like, well, and this is my own personal opinion. This is my philosophy. The meaning of life is to live. And with that being said, and like when I said that, the person was very smart. You know, you could tell he was so smart, he was dumb. You know what I mean? And he was just like, no, but he was trying to get all technical with it. And I was like, it's that simple, read between the lines. I was like, one day you learn. And it's exactly what you're talking about. It's to love. It's just to be caring, to enjoy each moment.
Yeah,
to
try
you know?
To make it
through
generation, through progress, try to make the world a better place.
Exactly,
you know,
and that's
if
living.
You think about it, the only true lasting thing that you can leave when you die is that love, is that memory of that love. It's
legacy.
The only thing that you can, the only thing you can take, the only thing you can truly take with you is that love that you were received. The only thing you can leave okay. is the love that you gave.
That's it, you know. And
everything
that's
else,
show.
Materialistic crap, because no one's going to remember. Oh yeah, he was the richest guy on our block. You know,
yeah.
they're gonna remember you, whether you were a good person or whether you were a bad person.
Yeah.
They're not going to
exactly.
remember. Oh, he had. He had a real nice, you know, he had the best John Deere tractor out of anybody. That's superficial. Nobody cares about that. You know, all they care is, was he a good person? was he a bad person? Which boils down to the amount of love that was given and the amount of love that was received.
And you're exactly right. You know, what did this person stand for? What was he? And, you know, I call that a legacy. I think everybody leaves a legacy when they're behind of who they were and how they were as a person. You know, I like to try and keep things really simple, you know, and I agree with you 100%, Brian. I really do. But, I mean, that's it, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I kind of got a little bit overzealous, over adamant about it.
I see you posted on Facebook, and I saw the cutest thing the other day, and I hope you don't mind me talking about it, but it was your daughter, and she wanted to get back on the pooter, okay, the computer, and you were like, no, because you'll be asking me to fix it or do this like you did all day. And how'd it go? Is something that she won't aggravate you, and she kissed you, and I commented, and I was like, did she get back on the computer, and you said no comment? You know, I laughed at that. Little videos you post, I laughed my butt off at that, dude. Because, you know,
she
that's
did,
the captain's
she did.
Thing. Funny
story happened today, as a matter of fact. She was acting up, you know, just normal 3-year-old stuff. And I told her, I said, you know, you better be good. I said, Santa Claus is watching. The argument started. I'm like, you're being naughty, you're being bad. She's like, no, I'm not being bad. I'm like, yeah, you are. And she's like, well, you hurt my feelings. I said, well, you better be good. Santa Claus is watching. I'm going to call him. She's like, I'm sweet.
Real quick.
She's like, I'm sweet.
You know, and it's things like that, capturing moments, you know, and doing that. But we got about 13 minutes left. So, we covered a lot of topics in this 2-hour show, you know. Everybody's going to be exhausted after this, you know. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about, paranormal, not paranormal, anything that's still theories that we have? Because there's something that I want to talk about, and it's about crossing that barrier of paranormal investigating. And Jeremy's touched on this a lot with different theories about how we can push forward in the paranormal field. So, Brian, you know, you're into the paranormal a lot, more Sasquatch than I think ghosts, but, I mean, you do a lot of research and you're a lot into it. If there's anything that you think of that paranormal investigators should do, can do, and that aren't doing it, what is that?
Oh, there's a ton. Where to begin? I mean, like I said, I watch all these shows, and while I'm watching it, you know, I sit there and think, and I've even messaged you a couple of times here and there. I'm like, well, why don't they do this, or why don't they do that, you know? Right now, I'm running on zero sleep, and my mind's kind of afraid. But I think more than anything is to go in with an open mind and try not to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Try not to be led by the clients. You know, yeah, you have to listen to their case stories, but to a certain extent, try not to tag them along with you, you know. When I watch these shows, I sit there and I'm like, well, I wouldn't have done that. I'd have done this. But, you know, right now I'm drawing the blank on it. Maybe that's
well,
a topic
that
for a future
paranormal
show.
When I watch paranormal shows, I do that too, and I say that too. But I'm sure, like, when you watch our videos, you're like, Chris, why aren't you doing that? Chris, why are you doing that? You know? And I think, you know.
That brings up a good theory. I think that the less people you have, the better.
I don't think that's a theory. I think that's a fact.
And I agree with that, too. You know, I think that when you have a huge team, which, of course, you know, everybody wants to be part of a team because it's fun and everybody wants to be part of something, but I think that that takes away from, you know, the chance of paranormal activity that you're going to capture because, you know, and Chris knows
well,
this as much as I do.
Well,
no matter how much
you
try to prepare and say, okay, well, I need to know where everybody's at all times, what noise they're making, you know, what they're doing. Well, when you're actually there, it doesn't happen that way. You know, try to control everybody is another beast in its own, because everybody gets in their own little zone.
That's right.
And they're doing this, that, and the other.
That's right. And you're trying to do recordings, and you have all this background giggling and people walking, people moving. I mean, even if you were to have a jacket on and rub your arm across your jacket, it's going to make a sound on that EVP recorder. It's going to sound very eerie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think when doing EVPs, it should be completely dead still, no movement whatsoever. Minimize the number of people that are in there to cause background noises. You know, you can't have all that and expect to turn in EVP per se and hear what's on it clearly.
Yeah,
you know? And I know that everybody gets overly excited, and everybody, you know, the thrill of the moment. But you know, you got to kind of keep that to a minimum, because think about this, you know, and we don't know this. We don't know what the intimidation factor is for a spirit. We do know that spirits, you know, when you confront them and try to call them out, that they will get pissed off and violent. So we don't know that level of intimidation that a spirit will take before it either shuts completely down or reacts in a violent manner. So you get a whole bunch of people coming in there. I mean, this spirit, you know, if you think of it, if we're saying spirits were once people, if you think of it on that level, this spirit is in there, got free reign of the place, well, mm-hmm. to a certain extent. He's used to certain people, a certain family, and then you get this large group of strangers coming in there, trampling all over the place, trying to call it out. We don't know the mental facility, capability of a spirit. We don't know if that spirit's going to get shy and clam up because it's intimidated by a large group of people. We don't know if it's going to get pissed off and violent because it's confronted and intimidated by a large group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why another reason I think that the minimal people that you have there, the better.
Yeah. And that's true.
Yeah, and you see, for me, one of the things that I always worry about is when you go into a situation like Springfield where we think we're dealing with something demonic, you know, you have to not only worry about protecting yourself, you have to worry about protecting your team, you know. You don't want nothing to happen to your team. And when it's just hard to control that because, like Brian says, you don't know if this thing's going to lash out. You know, you don't know who is going to decide to attack, and can they handle that? You know,
we barely scratched the surface. We barely even, you know, and some would say there's proof, some would say there isn't, you know. We barely.
And that's what I'm talking about.
Proven
scratching
the
surface.
Existence.
Like, scratching the surface, how do we evolve and go deeper? I mean, is it equipment? Is it us? What do we need to do
no.
to communicate better? Or get better paranormal evidence. Find out.
Well, it all depends, Chris. You know, there comes a point in time when people have to just face, hey, there's some things on this planet that maybe we don't need to know. Maybe we just need to accept it is what it is. You know, so maybe there's a reason. Well,
I can't accept that.
I understand that. It's not, I understand that, and you know, to each their own. But maybe there's a reason that we're not able to fully prove, you know, with solid, concrete evidence, the existence of spirits and paranormal.
I mean,
you
is
know?
That like saying like we have a 1920s automobile, okay? And we want to get to a 2013 Ferrari. I mean, we're not going to get there by saying, well, maybe this is just it. This wall we've hit is good enough. You know,
that's right.
We're not good
enough. If that's what you're
pushing
the field
forward.
Goal is.
You know, like I feel we have some of the best paranormal evidence out there with the little REM pod incident, when a REM pod that basically just detects different electricity in the air, and we actually got a spirit or demonic or whatever you want to call it to manipulate it to light up green for yes, yellow for no, yellow for no. But
right. You have skeptics that'll say even that is not,
I said, go ahead, I'm sorry.
You have skeptics that'll say even that's not 100% proof. And here's why. Because, first of all, humans put off their own electricity. Most of things around us generate some type of electromagnetic field.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that it pushes it a little further.
I'm not trying to dishearten you or, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Or discredit what you're doing. I'm not at all. I'm just saying that we have still not reached that point yet. And whether it's through technological equipment or whether it's breaking that barrier, we have not reached that point yet.
I believe that equipment is only going to be able to bring you so far. I think the next step in paranormal investigation is going to have to come from the human psyche.
The problem with that is, Jeremy, is that your own personal experience in the human psyche cannot take that as proof. That's the problem.
Exactly.
I understand it's
going to prove the existence of ghosts. I believe there needs to be better scientific equipment. I believe there needs to be better things built to be able to prove the existence of ghosts.
That's right.
I understand that. But I understand what y'all saying as far as proving that ghosts exist. But you see, my number one goal is this. I'm not looking at so much to prove to a skeptic that if ghosts are real or not, because for one, he could have one manifest right in front of his hand and shake his hand literally, and he's going to try to come up with some kind of explanation for how that happened.
My thing is, when
I go in there, I'm trying to help the family that is dealing with it. That is my goal. My goal is not necessarily to try to prove it to anybody.
If that's what you're doing, then you're accomplishing your goal. You know, as far as the paranormal, we do not know enough about, say, a spirit or ghost to know what spectrum they're on. You know, we're still just shooting in the dark. You know, we're coming up with these, you know, this equipment, thinking, okay, maybe it'll catch a ghost. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. We don't know. We're still just shooting in the dark.
And that's why we keep trying. Because one day it will.
If you keep throwing stuff against the wall,
something's going to stick.
Right? Right. There's something that we're missing. I believe that we're only getting the evidence that we would call evidence. We're only getting a very small percentage of what is actually there. Because we haven't still technologically come up with a way to, quote, see these things and capture these things.
That's true.
We're still just shooting in the dark, you know.
So, Brian, last time we didn't get a chance to do this, but you want to promote anything, your website? I know you do crafts and you do other things. You want to go ahead and throw some promotions out there?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know if what I do with, you know, how that would relate to any of this.
A lot of people out there in this field enjoy stuff like that. You know, don't you have a website?
I sculpt action figures and action figure parts that, you know, people can buy and customize for themselves, you know, whether it be, you know, anything from creatures to aliens to Sasquatch, you know, that's what I do. My website is, you can look me up on Facebook, Onyx, like the Gemstone, Phoenix, the Firebird Productions, and check us out. You know, it's just a group of us that, that go in there and you know, make our own small sculptures.
All right. Well, that's about it. We don't have any more time left. We're at zero, guys, so we're actually getting off the air now. But, Brian, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. And,
hey, man.
Probably going to have to have you on again in a few months.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, man. We got to do it again here pretty soon.
All right, man. Thank you. You have a good night. Good night, Jeremy.
All right, you too.